I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Actually, happy Valentine's Day.
That's true. We are recording this on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
A little date, if you will.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, though, I hope you had a good Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or Galentine's Day.
Or Friday.
Exactly.
Well, we have another love story to talk about today.
We do. Yeah. Mandy. We're keeping the ball rolling.
Yeah. But first, news. First. And I'll kick us off with a bunch of little ones.
Okay.
A lot of little news. First, Nosferatu is going to be streaming on Peacock starting next week.
Sex.
Yep. The A24 horror musical Opus released its first song on all streaming platforms today. It's a pop song called Dina Simone and features John Malkovich singing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And HBO executive Francesca Orzi teased a deadline that The Last of Us will run a total of 4 seasons.
Okay.
Those are the little newses.
I like that. It's little blurbs.
Yeah.
All right. My first news. Diablo Cody, a la Lisa Frankenstein and Jennifer's Body, is going to be producing the upcoming witchy horror film Forbidden Fruits, directed by Meredith Alloway. It's a film adaptation of the stage play Of the Woman Came the Beginning of Sin, and Through Her We All Die by Lily Houghton.
Good one.
Quite the title. Yeah, yes. It's a big one. Quick synopsis. Free Eden employee Apple, who secretly runs a witchy femme cult in the basement of the mall store after hours, with fellow fruits Cherry and Fig. But when new hire Pumpkin challenges their girl boss ways, the women are forced to face their own poisons or succumb to a bloody fate.
I realize that first sentence of the synopsis was a fragment.
Unfinished.
Yeah.
I can redo it.
That was my bad.
You're fine.
I didn't even write that part. I stole that from the internet.
Okay, I can just remove the who.
Who, yeah. They're all fruits.
Yeah. Okay. Quick synopsis. Free Eden employee Apple secretly runs a witchy femme cult in the basement of the mall store after hours with fellow fruits Cherry and Fig. But when new hire Pumpkin challenges their girl boss ways, the women are forced to face their own poisons or succumb to a bloody fate. How fun.
Cute. Yeah. That would be a fun stage show, I think.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, just with like a shorter name, maybe.
The name is this. It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, fun. We love Diablo Cody.
Yeah, big fan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my favorite news of the day. I hadn't heard your other one, but my favorite news of the day. Taylor Lautner is going to be starring as himself or a character of himself, I'm not really sure, in an upcoming Amazon MGM Studios show called Taylor Lautner Werewolf Hunter. This is paraphrased, but Amazon has teased that the film will follow Taylor, who, after having wrapped filming on the final Twilight film, is approached by a secret society of werewolf trackers who need his unique expertise. Taylor continues to lead a double life as an actor and as a supernatural warrior, ultimately facing the question, what happens when your biggest role becomes your greatest enemy?
Wow.
It sounds so fun.
It does.
It's so unserious.
Such a great idea.
Yeah. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'll be sat. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, and it's one of the least, well, I guess none of them really were. I was going to say one of the least controversial actors of the series, but really they didn't have a whole lot of them.
No.
I can't even think of any.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused now.
Yeah. Well, that's why I ended up not saying that. I didn't say that.
Yeah. That wasn't said.
No. Anyway, but no, he's really cute. It also says something about like him finding love. So I wonder if his wife's going to be in it. She's great.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I like her.
Yeah, she seems like a blast.
Yeah. Nice. The other Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
What are your last two newses?
Yeah, I'll do two newses because Katie doesn't know math, so we didn't plan this out very well. So I have two. I'll do them quickly. One, Magnet Releasing, which is the horror branch of Magnolia Pictures, has debuted the trailer and poster for their upcoming film Borderline. It's going to star the modern Scream Queen Samara Weaving and Rae Nicholson, who is just in Smile 2.
Yeah.
And basically, Rae Nicholson is going to play a dangerous stalker who is targeting Samara Weaving's character, who is a famous pop star. Very Smile 2.
Oh, it is Smile 2.
Yeah, kind of. But I think more grounded. It's not, I don't think it's supernatural, but who's to say?
Is it funny?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch the trailer, full disclosure, but I have the link, so we'll link it.
Okay.
Because I am going to watch it. Okay. But yeah, fun news there. And then my second one is also kind of marketing. Neon, upcoming Oz Perkins movie. Last time, you know, they did all the fun marketing for Long Legs. This time, I think they're trying to continue that trend of fun marketing.
Okay.
So... They're going to be making The Monkey available to screen in churches across the country.
Oh.
It's going to be the first movie to ever play simultaneously in theaters and in churches. And you can apply for your church to get a screening of it at godsbowlingstrikestonight.com. Only submissions from authorized religious institutions are going to be considered. But fun, you can watch The Monkey at your church if, you know, they apply.
I worked for the church for a minute. I worked for the Lutheran church.
Wow. Would you have applied?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's why I bring it up.
Yeah.
Pastor Bill, hello.
All the cool churches are going to be playing The Monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even like a religious theme, is it? It's more supernatural. It's about a toy. I think
so. Yeah, I haven't read the short story that it's based on, so I don't know fully. Well, but it is Oz Perkins, and he loves, you know, religious horror, so.
True.
Who's to say?
Risky. I'll look at churches in my area, see if they'll be streaming it.
Yeah.
I promise to see it there.
If it is. Weird.
Why? I don't understand.
Because it's a marketing ploy.
Is it working? Are people talking about it? I haven't seen anybody talk about it.
I think the site that I found it on, it had posted it like 4 minutes before we started filming.
Oh, so wow.
It's very, very recent news.
It's fresh news.
Yeah. So by the time you're listening to this, maybe it'll be more talked about. I don't know. We'll see.
Wow. We're really ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Well... Thanks.
You're welcome. Should we talk about Mandy? Our requested movie? This was a request. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see why she would request this one.
She said, I don't even really remember it that much. You should watch it.
Wow. Thanks. So cool.
Yeah, really thoughtful recommendation. We've
done a lot of Nicolas Cage. This is basically a Nicolas Cage horror movie podcast.
Sure, yeah.
Might as well be. Okay, I'll give us a little summary. Mandy is a 2018 revenge action horror film starring Nicolas Cage, Linus Roach, and Andrea Riseborough, directed by Panos Cosmatos and written by both Cosmatos and Aaron Stewart Ahn. In the Pacific Northwest in 1983, outsiders Red Miller and Mandy Bloom lead a loving and peaceful existence. When their pine-scented haven is savagely destroyed by a cult led by the sadistic Jeremiah Sand, Red is catapulted into a phantasmagoric journey filled with bloody vengeance and laced with deadly fire. The movie had a $6 million budget and grossed $1.7 million at the worldwide box office with a very limited cinematic release. It was released for just one day before immediately being released on VOD.
Nice.
It has a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and a 90% critics and 68% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. A little bit of a spread between critics and audience.
Yeah.
I can see why.
Yeah. Yeah, this definitely, I don't think this movie would be like everybody's cup of tea.
No.
But.
Yeah, people either really loved it, and I'd say a majority of the people loved it, but the people who didn't love it hated it.
Yeah.
Really.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Skews slightly towards people who loved it. But, yeah. Yeesh. People are mean in their reviews of this movie.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to wait and see what we thought of it.
Yeah.
Or you could just fast forward to the end right now.
Yeah. About probably like 45 minutes, 30 seconds, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Maybe 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't stay. Please hang out with us for a minute.
We got fun facts.
We do.
Can we start by saying, though, this movie is a lot funnier than it had any business being.
Yeah. That's why when you asked if it was a comedy, I was like, yeah, but it's not billed as a comedy anyway.
No. It's
like, nobody says that it's a comedy, but like there's moments that had to be meant as comedic.
Correct.
I refuse to believe that they were accidentally funny.
Yeah. The scene with the window, him putting the window up and down.
Yep.
So fucking funny. The giant chainsaw, just slowly pulling this chainsaw that's even bigger and bigger and bigger than...
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, this movie was hilarious. I laughed
a lot. There were some really good moments. And what was it? Him lighting a cigarette with the flames of the decapitated head? Like, that's...
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. Have I ever told you my cigarette lighting horror story?
No.
Oh. Well, I was lighting a cigarette, and I was doing it like my ex at the time would always do it, which is with the stove, the gas stove.
Oh, no.
He would put the cigarette in his mouth, and then light it. What he did, though, and I watched him do this several times. I don't know why I didn't. I don't know. Anyway, what he would do was he'd put the cigarette in his mouth, and then he'd go like this. And light it. Like he'd put his head to the side, and light it.
Oh, you went straight down.
What I did was I went straight down, burned all my eyelashes off. It was great.
Why not just invest in a lighter?
Well, we had them.
Oh, great. You just didn't use them.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yikes.
You know how it is.
I don't, but sure.
Oh, well, that's how it was, so.
Incredible.
Anyway. It was a little bit more fun when Nick Cage did it on a flaming head.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that a band? Flaming Lips. That was close.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
I was also just going to say, I watched a lot of interviews of the cast and the director, and Panos Cosmatos looks nothing like a Panos Cosmatos.
Okay.
He looks like a Duck Dynasty.
Oh.
In the nicest way. Like they all look great. But you know what I mean? He's more like a...
No, I didn't Phil Robertson, look him up, if I'm being honest.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Thank you.
Camo hat and everything.
Yeah. It's a look. I respect it. I'm into it, in fact.
Yeah, that's your type?
Sure. My husband's got the rugged Duck Dynasty look about him.
I don't think you should insult your husband like that, but okay. Okay.
Anyway, he doesn't look like a Panos Cosmatos.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
Thank you.
Yeah. According to the co-writer of this movie, when they presented it at the Cannes Film Festival, Cosmatos described it as a film about the death of his parents. Yeah, I didn't get that either. But art is weird. Art expresses itself in interesting ways.
Yeah, it does.
And I guess this movie's kind of a love story.
Sure.
So maybe that's like a nice thing about your parents.
Yeah, maybe his mom died first and his dad just kind of lost himself and this was the personification of that.
And his dad, he killed a gang of bikers.
Well,
No, I'm kidding.
Dramatization, for sure.
We don't know.
We don't know. He said that the film was inspired by his love of basically everything that he loved as a child. Mm. So the fact's not on my list anymore. It's gone.
That's crazy.
Oh, I got it. He also said this movie was inspired by everything that he loved as a kid. Mm-hmm. Heavy metal magazine, heavy metal music, horror, Fangoria. He said very specifically the cover art for horror films that he wasn't allowed to watch as a kid.
Yeah.
I can kind of feel that. I get it. There were a lot of death metal references, heavy metal, maybe not death metal, but heavy metal references.
Yeah, it feels, this movie feels metal.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. It also feels kind of superhero-y.
Maybe like,
I feel
bit.
Like this could be a comic book story about Red becoming a super, like his origin story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it kind of feels to me.
Sure. He loves Thank comic you. Books.
Nick Cage does, yeah.
Yeah, he does. He really does. He's played...
Big fan.
What, 3 or 4 different Marvel characters?
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny. I just love when they all... It's like the same... They just reuse the same actor in the same universe.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, he even got... He took his stage name from Luke Cage.
Yes, he did.
Which is a Marvel character, if you didn't know.
You didn't know that.
First of all... I used to read comic books when I was a kid, so shove that in your pipe and smoke it.
Gosh.
I read mainly DC, though, so I didn't know that, but...
Got it. Thank you. You don't like Marvel. You like Batman?
I don't like what it's become.
Yeah.
I think superhero movies still can be really great, a la Spider-Verse. Those movies are incredible.
Speaking of Nick Cage...
But I think the MCU has kind of, like, dulled them a bit. It was just too much fan service, too much, like, oh, he's right behind me, isn't he, kind of line. Like, it just got to be too much for me. And it's I think fair. That they just needed to take a break and reevaluate. But they weren't gonna, because it's a, you know, multi-billion-dollar industry, so.
Gazillion-y. Yeah.
Yeah, they were making too much money doing it. And you know what? That's fine. People love them. It's not for me. I respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of superhero movies I like.
Did you hear that the new Spider-Verse movie isn't coming out until 2029?
I know. I can't. That's you can't end it on a to be continued and then do that to us.
Yeah, that was a little. I mean, I can't imagine how long it takes to make those, though.
Oh, I know.
They're probably, like, rushing at that rate.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I was going to use that fact to segue into something I want to talk about that has nothing to do with horror or anything.
Great. Well, we weren't talking about it anyway, so we might as well.
Yeah. So let's just continue on that trend.
Let's keep talking about it.
We were talking about heavy metal music, and she wore a Motley Crue shirt. Mandy wore a Motley Crue shirt through a large part of her scenes in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was going to bring up. Vince Neil, the lead singer of Motley Crue, his private jet crashed. It was very sad. The captain was killed. Respect to his family. But crashed into another private jet not too far from where I live. The other private jet was owned by Vince Vaughn.
What?
Two Vinces.
That's crazy.
Vince Neil and Vince Vaughn. I thought that was a very strange coincidence.
That is.
Anyway, I've just been needing to get that off my chest.
Yeah, I'm glad that we could create a space for you to do that.
Thank you so much. Anyway.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Should we talk more about the movie?
I guess.
I mean, we don't have to, you know?
No, yeah. We probably should.
This is our hour. We can talk about whatever we want.
Yeah. We won't do fan service like Marvel does.
No. Never.
I watched this movie on Amazon X-Ray.
Oh, with the fun facts and stuff.
Yeah, but it didn't have any fun facts. It was just the cast.
Mm.
But when the tiger popped up, Izzy, what was the tiger's name? Lizzie the tiger. Lizzie. When the tiger popped up, it was credited. The tiger in real life, his name was Corfu. And the dog, the I don't know what kind of dog it was. But the dog's name in real life is Lolita. Spelled kind of funny, but Lolita.
Very cute.
Yeah.
I love when the animals are credited.
Yeah, me too.
They also, Richard Brake, who plays the chemist, he said that in an early draft of the script, Lizzie, the tiger, was actually supposed to be a lizard, not a tiger.
Interesting.
And then he arrived on set and Cosmatos, was like, hey, by the way, Lizzie's a tiger now. And there was just tiger there.
Yeah, that's cute. It didn't look like there were any actors on screen when, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the tiger was ever on screen with the actors. Was he? Or she?
I don't think it ever showed them side by side. So I don't know if it was actually there. I'm assuming if they told him.
I mean,
was,
he said, yeah,
that he was there with the tiger. But yeah, it just shows the tiger and then shows the eye. It's like a cutaway. I don't think it ever shows them side by side.
Yeah. Which I thought was a little disappointing. It would have been fun to have a tiger scene, like a tiger and actor, tigers on actors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're going to get a tiger,
utilize it. Yeah. You know?
Also, did you recognize Richard Brake? He's been in another horror movie we talked about on the podcast.
No, but I recognize Alwyn, Welsh last name.
Yeah.
From Watchers.
Mm-hmm. She was in The Watchers.
Richard Brake.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember what he's from. He did look familiar, but he kind of looks like Richard Branson.
Mm. He played Frank in Barbarian. The mean guy.
Oh, the bad guy.
Yeah, the bad guy.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Way back.
Yeah, I've only seen that movie once.
When we watched it for the podcast?
Yep.
That was episode 7, by the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind watching it again.
It's a great film.
It was 2 years ago.
You should watch it.
Okay.
I'll watch it with you.
Yeah, I know.
I love that movie.
That was a given.
It's so good.
Yeah. I got nothing. I have so many facts, but they're all fucking convoluted. I don't know how to like weave them together. Here,
yeah, there's no good segues, so we're just not going to do, we'll just, you know what? Also, for those who are just listening, she gave like the most desperate pleading face. That's why we started laughing. But yeah, there's not a lot of good segues here for these, so just pop them off. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I'm going to pop off. The film was not shot in the Pacific Northwest. Hold on. This is too loud. I thought I could do it. I put a piece of candy cane in my mouth, and I thought that you would be able to hear it, but I could just feel it jiggling around in my teeth. Anyway.
Yeah.
This film was not shot in the Pacific Northwest. It was shot in Belgium. And I did think that in some scenes, they did a really good job portraying Pacific Northwest out of it. Pacific Northwest has a very distinct vibe.
Yeah.
But what I love most and what I do think really felt PNW was the house. Red's and Mandy's house that's like made of all windows was the coolest house. Very like rural Washington. Oh, I just loved that house. I want that house so bad. And it was built by scratch. The production team built that home from the ground up for the movie.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a very cool looking house.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd put my bed in a nook of windows personally on the ground floor. That feels crazy to me. But
yeah,
I'm also scared of getting murdered. So that's just where we're different, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was so beautiful. I would love a house with really big windows. And that's a fun way to do it with lots of little windows, you know?
Yeah.
I've never seen a house like that before. It really stuck out. One of my favorite parts of the movie. Just how cute it was, you know?
Yeah. Also, look at this segue.
Okay.
Nailed it. In terms of the set, where it's set.
Yeah.
Now I'm stumbling over it. I can't even get it out. And I had a great segue. Oh, man.
We do our best.
I know. Leave it to me to fumble it. But anyways, in one scene, Mandy says that they live near Crystal Lake. Which I thought was a fun little nod to Friday the 13th.
Yeah. That one was cute.
Yeah. Crystal Lake that's not in the Pacific Northwest, though. So that was also kind of funny.
No, it's not.
East Coast.
Well, there might be another Crystal Lake.
True. I don't, I mean, I think it was just kind of like a hee hee nod nod at Friday the 13th, the actual crystal, you know, not the one that's actually in the movie. For also, sure. Fun fact, Michelle, who requested this movie, dear mm-hmm. friend of ours, she thought that it was in the Pacific Northwest. And so there's a movie where they take a boat to New York City. Jason Takes Manhattan. And so she was very confused on the geography of how they would take a boat across the United States. And I said, no, no, babe, it's on the East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most Americans wouldn't even bat an eyelash if they thought that it was set in the Pacific Northwest and they took a boat to New York City. Just shout out to her Canadian education.
Yeah. She was.
That she was confused.
It wasn't connecting for her. So yeah, I had to say. No.
Yeah. Good for her.
Kim Crystal Lake is on the East.
On the East Coast. Yeah. Cute. It does look Pacific Northwest. I get it.
It does. Yeah. I could see how you would feel that.
Yeah. One fun sort of thing, like the fact isn't like super fun. I mean, it's fine. But just kind of makes you think about movies and production. The Cheddar mm-hmm. Goblin commercial was directed by somebody else entirely. It was directed by Casper Kelly, who directed the Adult Swim short Too Many Cooks mm-hmm. from 2014. That's just kind of a fun, like, you don't really think about that. You just think of all of the media that's created for the film is directed by the director of the film.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like a fun, it just kind of reminded me of what's that rec? VCR, rec, VCR. What is it called? What is the one?
VHS?
Yes, thank you. I could have gotten there eventually. It reminds me of VHS where all the shorts are directed by different people. Like you don't really think about having more than one director unless they're like co-directing. You know what I mean? I don't know. That was just kind of a fun little egg.
Right.
Little nugget of the production process.
Yeah. I do like that.
Yeah.
You can also see the Cheddar Goblin macaroni in Carruthers' trailer.
Yes, you can.
When Red goes to get his weapon.
Yeah.
Fun little callback.
Yeah, so fun, so fun. Did you notice the title card of the film?
Like an hour into it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had this like out of body experience sort of when it showed up. I was like, oh my God, are we only 5 minutes into this movie? I was like, this has to, like, I have to have watched at least 2 hours of this. And sure enough, hour and 15 minutes into the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
This crazy.
This is a long movie.
It's, you really got to muscle your way through it. It's a little too long. It's a lot.
Yeah.
They could have, that one monologue alone could have been 3 minutes less. He didn't blink. Did you notice? He didn't blink not one time.
No.
Not even once.
Ew. Yeah, I feel like you could have easily cut out 30 to 40 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
Just and it wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah. How slow the camera moved sometimes and how long they sat looking at people and
yeah. I have some Nick Cage fun facts.
Oh, okay.
One, he had an uncredited screaming coach named David Sellers, which I think is fun.
What could anybody possibly teach Nicolas Cage about screaming?
You know, I like a man who still has stuff to learn.
It's just not one of the things I would think of that he would need to be
taught.
Well, if
you're gonna do it a lot, I could see wanting someone there to like make sure you're doing it in a way that's not going to harm your voice.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
So I could see him wanting that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Why wasn't he credited? That's rude.
I don't know. Sometimes people don't fight for credits of it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, getting paid enough that they don't really care.
Sure. Can you hear them?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I can. It's very distracting.
Sorry.
It's okay. Okay, here we go. Going back to the fun fact that we were just talking about, what was the fun fact that we were talking about before this? Yeah, me neither. Anyway, well,
that's
I was gonna segue into something. I don't remember. Anyway, I was gonna segue into how they did a really great job of like portraying like drug-induced like just like visuals, you know?
Yeah.
Just that kind of like everything kind of blurs together. Not that I have any experience with this, but you know, like everything's kind of blurring together and like words are a little bit louder and deeper than maybe they need to be. Like, I thought they did a really good job. I mean, everything about this film was shot beautifully, but that specifically stood out to me. It's like, oh my God, that's actually very well done.
Yeah. I wish I could add to the conversation. I'm so sorry.
You don't have any more facts?
You're right. No, about like that specifically.
Oh. I was going to say, oh my God. I got more. I can keep going.
I have more fun facts. I just like was going to add more about, you know, psychedelic drugs and stuff, but I don't have much experience with that, if I'm being honest. So
yeah. Not all of us do.
Yeah. If you have experience with psychedelic drugs, please let us know if this felt accurate to you. We won't tell anybody. Don't worry.
Yeah. Just put it on the internet for us to see.
Yeah. Just say this is a joke before, and then nobody can do anything about it.
Yeah. For legal purposes, this is a joke.
Yeah.
I once did psychedelic drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. That's the format.
Yeah. Perfect.
Cool.
For legal purposes, this is a joke. I did once take mushrooms, but I didn't take enough for it to be. Yeah. Yeah. Jokingly, it was fine. It was fun. Nice time.
Okay. Yeah. If you had actually done that.
Yeah. If I had done it, I had a great time.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So I wouldn't recommend it.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do hard drugs. Anyway, the chainsaw fight, one of my favorite scenes that we've ever seen, any movie ever. That was so much fun.
Very fun.
It was all filmed in one night.
Yeah.
And I watched the interview where Panos Cosmatos was talking specifically about how much hell it was to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the scenes that they did at night, like stuff lighting on fire, all of that were done over the course of one night, and it was not fun. They had to be very quick and yeesh.
That's a big scene to do in one night.
Yeah.
Very much. I could see how that would be very stressful.
Yeah. What a fun kill, though.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
Yeah, there's some great bloody gory fun moments at the end.
Yeah, the third act is a really great payoff for having to sit through the first and second. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
I was pissed about that monologue until they gave me that third act. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe that monologue wasn't so bad after all. Because this is a great time.
It's interesting, though, because the kill scenes are very fun.
Yeah.
But then there's even, like, sloggy moments in between them.
A little bit,
just, like,
yeah.
Him just walking through a tunnel for 9 minutes, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Or him walking away from the church.
Yeah. The pacing in this movie had issues.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to save this for my, like, overall review thing, but yeah. There is a behind-the-scenes and deleted scenes documentary on YouTube. We'll link it in the description.
Yeah.
But Panos says outright, he doesn't care about story. So his stories are going to be simple. It's about how you tell the story. That's what's important to him in movie making. And I think that translates really well here. He very obviously was focusing on the art of everything and not so much the story, because the story is kind of basic. It's revenge. Somebody kills your wife, you're going to go and kill them back. Like, it's just, you know, it's John Wick all over again. But human instead of a puppy.
Dog?
Yeah, it's a puppy. Worse.
There's like 8,000 movies about a wife dying and a guy going on a revenge streak that you could have used, and you chose John Wick instead.
Well, you know, that's probably the most prominent one.
That's crazy.
John Wick is a billion-dollar franchise, but it's a revenge story. Somebody kills somebody, and then you go and get revenge for it.
Yeah, well.
But no, I think that translated, and I will give him – his goal was – accomplished, so I will forgive some of the more sloggy scenes because he was trying to make art, and I think he did a good job, you know.
Yeah, I still think the pacing's not good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
if it's about how you tell the story, I don't think he told it to its full capacity, Because I think the Could pacing is how you tell the story.
Yeah, and, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Which I know I complain a lot about, like, movies need to be an hour and a half, but this movie especially...
It should have been...
Needed to be an hour and a half.
It was an hour and a half, and then they just made the scenes take long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
One cute little detail in the story is that when Red has his 44 shirt, his favorite shirt ripped, and he's like, that was my favorite shirt, which was so funny. I died laughing. later in the movie, he's having a flashback about the first time he meets Mandy, and he's wearing that shirt. Yeah. That's sad.
It is.
Very sad.
Yeah, we get the answer to why it's his favorite shirt.
Yeah.
Adorable. Originally, Nick Cage has said that when Cosmatos approached him about the film, he wanted him to play Jeremiah Sand, the cult leader.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, that was the original offer.
No thanks.
And Nick read the script and said he didn't want that. He wanted to play Red instead.
Good.
And Panos told him no.
Sad.
They did not reach an agreement. And then a year later, Elijah Wood.
Who's a producer on the film, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Not just randomly. He had a part in this.
Yes.
Can you imagine? He just stepped in and was like, guys, I'll mediate this.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Let's make this work.
Yeah. How Frodo Baggins of you.
Yeah. No, he's a producer on the film, though, and they met through him and kind of talked more about the themes of love and loss. And after that conversation, Panos said that he felt confident that Cage should be Red. So that's how it came to be.
Super cute.
I know.
One thing that came up a lot in all of the like interviews and stuff that I was watching was that the cast felt extremely supported by Panos to do their job. They felt very trusted.
Yeah.
They were able to, you know, sort of give him notes and say like, oh, you know, as an actor, this is what I would recommend or whatever. And they didn't have a lot of the like big studio interference.
That's nice.
Those are two things that several folks, Nick included, mentioned about, like just was one of the most positive experiences about working on this movie, which we talk about all the time. We talk about how directors and studios should trust their actors and directors respectively. So
yeah.
Seems like that's the vibe of this film, which is nice.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Kind of on that note, Linus Roach, who played Jeremiah, he ended up playing Jeremiah Sand.
Mm-hmm. Very well.
Yeah. His only reservation was about the scene where he appears nude. In the original script, he was supposed to masturbate during that scene.
He does. He literally does. This is the weirdest fact, because he literally is masturbating.
Yeah, I think it was more explicit in the original script.
Okay.
But yeah, he told Panos about that, and Panos was like, I don't care about that scene. We can cut it. Like, that's fine. If you don't want to do it, we don't have to do it.
Okay, cool.
So they cut it, and then when they were approaching that scene to shoot, Roach changed his mind, and he'd thought about it for a really long time, and he decided, no, actually, let's keep it in. Let's go. Let's do it. And he said he credited Margot Robbie appearing nude in The Wolf of Wall Street as a deciding factor for him changing his mind.
See, okay, just transparently, I read this whole fun fact already.
Yeah.
And I was on board until that last sentence. That was a little like, you know, maybe I'm just like overthinking it, but that was like,
yeah.
Why did a woman being naked in a movie make you comfortable to be naked in a movie? That's, I don't know.
I feel like because it's just like, yeah, I think you are. Because I think it's more, I mean, maybe I'm putting my own intentions onto his thought process. I don't know why that scene inspired him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see it being like, wow, women are asked to do this a lot. And they do it. They're brave enough to like put themselves out there. Why can't I? Okay. It could have been that type of thought process.
I like that better.
Yeah.
That's what we'll go with.
Personally, that scene inspired me to never be nude ever again, because I'll never look like that.
Fair, fair.
Yeah, that's just a hee hee ha ha.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, okay.
But I can imagine if it's Margot Robbie.
Yeah, it's her.
I mean, I won't. It's like imagine. Respectfully, I won't.
Yeah. It's very much like a red flag for men, white flag for women movie, you know?
Yeah, I do. Like Fight Club.
Yeah, exactly like Fight Club. Or American Psycho. 500 Days of Summer.
I thought that was a band.
500 Days of Summer?
Yeah.
You've never seen that movie?
No.
Every day, it makes more and more sense why your favorite rom-com is Good Luck, Chuck. Because you've never seen a good one. Ever.
I have.
It's crazy.
I saw She's the Man.
And you still say Good Luck, Chuck over She's the Man.
Yeah. Good Luck, Chuck has penguins and dolphins and a walrus. 50 First Dates. I like 50 First Dates a lot. It also has penguins and a walrus and dolphins.
So it needs those elements for you to like it?
Yep.
It's crazy. So. I wish it mattered if it was a good movie or not, but I guess not.
50 First Dates is a good movie.
I do like 50 First Dates, even though in hindsight, kind of creepy, but
yeah, doesn't matter.
Still going to like it.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. Well, any other fun facts?
I don't think so. Let's rate it.
Okay.
How scary did you think it was?
I give it a 0.5.
Oh, okay.
I think it might have been a little bit higher, but the whole, like, demonic biker gang thing, it just kind of seemed a little silly to me, so I didn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it was so, like, over the top and ridiculous that it didn't scare me.
That's fair.
What about you?
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
I was a little freaked out by it. I don't know if it's because I watched it in the dark on a small screen under my comforter.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. But I think it's actually Johan Johansson, the composer, who also composed Arrival, by the way, does a very good job making horror movies horror.
Yeah.
If this movie did not have that soundtrack, it would have been a comedy.
Yeah, that's fair.
It would have been hilarious. I mean, it was hilarious, but it would have been billed as a comedy had it had any other score.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think he does a really masterful job. Did. He has passed now. And in fact, this movie is dedicated to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, I think he does a really masterful job of making things atmospherically scary. So I gave it a 2.
Nice. How sexy did you think it was?
2.5.
Wow.
Yeah, the begging at the end was, like, really satisfying until it wasn't.
Oh,
And then, like, Nick Cage covered in blood was also very satisfying until it wasn't. So I just kind of split it down the middle, you know, 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
I give it a 1.5.
Oh, okay.
Half a point for Nick Cage covered in blood.
Yeah.
And then half a point for just, like, the colors and the vibe of it all, you know?
Yeah.
I like a colorful film.
Yeah. The like lighting techniques that they use reminded me a lot of I Saw the TV Glow.
Mm. Just yeah,
like
I can see that.
That kind of like glowiness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's neon
and kind
glowiness,
of grainy.
Like, yeah, grainy, like 80s, 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
How fucked up did you think it was? Oh, is it your turn to ask me a question? Whose turn is it to ask a question?
You were correct the first time. It is your turn. Because I just asked you how sexy you thought it was. So.
Okay. Yeah. You can answer now.
Okay, thank you. I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Oh.
Because I think some of the kills are pretty fucked up. And then, honestly, almost a full point just for Mandy's death. That was unnecessary.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. What about you?
I gave it a 3.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to talk about this. So I'll just talk about it now. But I was really hoping for a good little, like, Burning Alive scene at the end, too, you know?
Oh, like, okay. Close-up to mirror it?
Yeah. I thought that would be really good revenge. Maybe a little expected, but the whole plot, I mean, is pretty... Other than, like, the demon biker gang, was pretty expected. But even without that, I mean, I still gave it a 3. It's one of the gorier movies we've watched. A few things we haven't seen before. A few things that we have seen before, but not executed quite as explicitly.
Yeah.
So a 3.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, overall, were you a lover or a hater of Mandy?
I don't think there's only 2 options. I think there can be a middle ground. I don't think that's been portrayed very well. I have a lot to say about this
movie.
Interesting.
Okay, great.
My heart told me I really liked it.
Yeah.
And there is a lot to love. But I did have a good bit of criticism about it, too. On a positive note, it was perfectly casted.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes Nick Cage playing Nick Cage works, and yes. sometimes it doesn't. In this one, it mostly worked. Linus Roach as Jeremiah Sand was so good. I loved him. He was really scary. The performance had a lot of depth. It was also just a really beautifully shot movie. I loved the unique lighting. I loved the like PNW vibe. The design of the Black Skulls was really like fun and just, you know, heavy metal is like exactly what I would use to describe them. The blood work was really good. The art and animation throughout was really good and kind of unique, stunning. My complaints, just to sort of like reiterate succinctly, actually, I didn't really touch on this yet. There was kind of like a world building problem. And I forgive this because it was not the director's goal to build a world and have like a really fleshed out story. Mm-hmm. But I would have liked a little bit more like, what world are you living in where a demon biker gang and this cult are like real? You know what I mean? The characters and like the ideas were fleshed out, but world building wasn't. Anyway, and then, you know, the plot was very simple, which we talked about, but I'll forgive it. Anyway, I could keep talking about this forever. But anyway, I really liked it. I gave it 4.
So you did like it. You said that there's a world in between, and then you weren't really in between. So.
Well, there's a world in between loving it and hating it, and I think I fall somewhere in that world.
I feel like a 4 and above is like more I did really loving like it.
Yeah. But it wasn't a 5.
It's fair.
Yeah. How about you?
I am the world in between. Oh, truly. Okay. I don't love this movie. I don't hate this movie. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Kind of to reiterate, a lot of what you said about what there is to like about it, I agree with. I think it's a beautiful film. Yeah. There are so many shots of this that I would have as a poster or that could be an album cover. Like, just truly beautiful scenes.
Yep.
And shots. And I think it's fun. Like, the ending especially is very fun. Mm-hmm. I love the kills. I love the blood. The gore is just over the top and a fun time.
Yeah.
But I docked it 2 points for my 2 biggest issues with this movie, which is, one, I've already mentioned, the pacing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason this needs to be 2 hours long. And I know I say that about a lot of movies, but it really is a critique of the pacing, because Midsommar is 2.5 hours long. That doesn't bother me because the pacing is correct. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it truly does make a difference in like what story you're telling, which this one, they're not really telling a story. So it doesn't need to be that long. And then my 2nd biggest issue is that this has the biggest, like one of my least favorite tropes of all time, which is kill the girlfriend, wife, give the man a story. Like that just does. I don't like it. I think it's overused. I think it's overdone. I think we're over it. We don't need to keep doing that. It's boring. It's lazy to me. I hate it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop, Katie, because this came out in 2018, and I've seen 9 trailers for a film that's coming out this year that has the same fucking plot. So we're clearly not done with it.
Yeah.
And I hate it. It's so boring.
Yeah. It's way overdone.
Anyway, so I had to dock. Yeah. I had to dock 2 points for that. It's a 3. I'm kind of in the middle of the road.
Does your mind get changed at all knowing that the director's intention was not to tell a great story? It was to beautifully portray?
Not really, because I think... I think the story matters when you're making a movie. Whether you want it to or not, it does. So yeah, that can be your intention and you can succeed at that intention, but that doesn't mean that it's going to change my mind about whether or not I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So.
Yeah.
I like a good story. Sorry, Panos. But I do really love that he, you know, the actors felt supported and stuff. He seems like a good director. I'm not like, you know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he set out to do. So pleasing one person shouldn't matter.
Yeah. This guy named Gregory T on Rotten Tomatoes said this really well. This movie was surrealist without the depth.
Yeah.
Which I can feel it. And I really like the surrealism of it all.
Yeah.
It was the lack of death. Death? There was a lot of death. The lack of depth.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a movie that I think could have been really great.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch the deleted scenes. I didn't get that far into the behind-the-scenes thing. But there are a few. I wonder if that would have helped at all.
Not more movie. Jesus.
I know.
Seriously. Would you survive?
It would certainly appear not.
Okay.
Just based on I'm not red and everyone else dies in the film, so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think I live. How about you?
See, I put myself as red because I was like, oh, like imagine you're the main character, right? So I was like, if my significant other was murdered, like, would I go on a rampage to kill everybody?
Sure.
And I don't think I would, personally. But I've never been in love, so who's to say what that would do to me? I don't know.
You don't even, first of all, how could you say that you've never been in love to my fucking face? That's so rude.
Okay, you're right. I have been in unrequited love.
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding. I've been in love with every person I've been friends with, and I have familial and platonic love.
Yeah, okay.
I've never been in romantic love, I will say, except for to you, but you're married, so
yeah,
I have to suppress it.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think my trauma response is more of like shutting down, not taking action.
Sure.
So I don't think that I would go on a rampage, and I don't know how to forge a weapon. So I don't think I would do that. I think I would just like move and be sad for the rest of my life.
So you don't think that the cult finds you at some point later on for
Well, they one just left him alone. I don't think so, because his whole obsession was Mandy. Like if they wanted him dead, they would have killed him.
Yeah.
Okay. You know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You're gonna move away from that house? Ugh.
I would, yeah. I couldn't live in the place where my partner died.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That'd be so sad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think on grounds that I just don't – because if I go on the rampage, I don't think I'm surviving. I'm not equipped to go on a revenge rampage. So
Me neither.
So I think I just don't do that. And I live a very sad life.
Yeah. Well, at least you live, I guess.
Yeah.
Well.
Fun.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Michelle for suggesting this movie.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
I liked it.
She really liked it.
Yeah.
I more liked it than didn't like it, but.
Barely. Know.
Barely.
0.5.
But I'm still not mad that I rewatched it. I mean, parts of it. It was.
Yeah.
Hit that 2X speed. I didn't even do that. But
where did you watch it? Shudder? Shudder doesn't even have a 2X.
No, I watched it on Pluto TV.
Oh, okay.
It was free with ads.
Cute.
Shout out Pluto.
On Shudder.
I don't have Shudder anymore.
Oh, got it. I got a free 7-day free trial.
Nice. Do you want to predict next week's movie?
No, because I've seen the trailer, so I feel like I don't have grounds to do so.
Yeah, that's fair. We could speculate a little bit because I haven't seen it yet either, but I have seen the trailer. We're going to be watching The Gorge. It's our new movie of the month. We're actually going to do this one that's a Apple TV film.
We usually
not
do theater
a theater
movies.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We strayed away from that, trying something a little bit different. We'll see how it works out.
It's already getting decent reviews.
Yeah. I'd still watch it even if it was bombing.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, we're going to watch The Gorge. Trailer seems very, I was going to say spy kids, like two spies in love with each other. but yeah, it seems like they're guarding the gorge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fall in love.
Yes.
And then they go into the gorge.
Well, I don't know that they go into the gorge. I think something tries to come out of the gorge and it's a monster.
Oh, I thought he fell in and she went down to get him.
Oh dear. Do they fall in love from afar? Because I know they're on opposite sides.
I think they fall in love from across.
Wow.
And then I think they go into the gorge and they see what's down there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking it's going to be like Annihilation vibes.
Oh God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
That's kind of what I got from it. But I don't know, because they don't really show the gorge, actually, in the trailer. So
when I first saw the trailer, I said that it gave me I don't even think we had seen the trailer. I think we were just talking about the plot of it.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the movies being released this month. I said it's giving. What did I say? What's that movie where they're at the top of the tower?
Oh, Fall.
Fall. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like Fall, you know, like where they're way up high. And, but now I'm kind of getting Maze Runner vibes. Did you ever see that movie?
Did I ever see that movie?
Yeah.
If it stars Dylan O'Brien, I've seen the movie.
And it's got that other girl that you love so much in it. What's her name?
Kaya Scodelario.
Yeah, I was going to say Kaya Gerber, but you're right.
She's not that good in that. Her accent's not there yet. But no. That's okay. I'm going to forgive her because she's Effie from Skins, and I love her till the day I die.
Well, I think that's why I'm not her biggest fan, is because she wasn't great in Maze Runner, and that movie was really important to me when it came out. So
yeah, I liked those books a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Did you watch – you watched Crawl, though, right? We watched that in Discord.
The alligator movie? Yeah, I liked that one.
Her accent was much better in that.
Much better.
She definitely fixed it.
Correct. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it's like that dark, like really tall concrete structure, like, you know what I mean? That's like, and they have to go inside, and
yeah, like if Thomas and Teresa were on opposite sides of the maze.
Yeah. And there's a monster crawling around in there, and
yeah, I can see that vibe.
Thanks. It's Maze Runner all grown up.
Can't wait.
With what's his face and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Miles Teller
and Anya Taylor-Joy. Yeah. And Sigourney Weaver. Hell yeah, Sigourney Weaver.
That's true. She's in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested. It looks fun. Mm-hmm. We're really keeping the theme of love this month.
Yeah, love. Yay, love. We love love.
We love love. Yeah. Even in our Best of the Bad episode. Gay is yay. So, the theme of the month is love, clearly.
Well, cool. I guess we'll see you next Tuesday.
We will. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe. Follow us on socials. Let us know in the comments about your psychedelic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
As a joke. And then
suggest our next movie.
Yeah. Give us a request. We have another request in the queue as well, too. So
look out.
Yeah. We're getting requests up the storm.
What movie?
The next one could be yours. it's a little ways away because I had to like position it correctly.
Okay.
But next month in March, we're going to be doing The Wolf of Snow Hollow, as requested by our other dear friend, Anitra.
Oh, yeah. Finally. Yeah. I've been wanting to watch that movie.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Hell yeah, brother.
So yeah, if you give me a request, I'll change the calendar. Just do it, please.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want to hear.
Hooray.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you for listening.
All right, thanks. We'll see you Tuesday.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.